Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. By way of reminder, Titus has been sent to the island of Crete in order to put into order everything that was lacking among the churches on that island. Everything that was left undone, Titus was to put into order, to put into place. What he was to put into place was an ordering of the household of God, the church. The household of Christians. And then the household of civil society, that is, society as a whole. Chapter 1 focuses on how Titus is to appoint elders, that is, pastors, to serve the various congregations on that island that met in people's homes. He describes the kind of men these elders and pastors should be, that he is to put in order the things that were lacking. They had no shepherd. You strike the shepherd and the sheep scatter. And so the first order of business was to ensure that there were proper teachers of the faith, those who would preach and teach, those who would exhort, those who would be examples to the household of God, so that by their example, that is, by imitating their example, the household of Christians would also be put into order. So now in chapter 2, St. Paul focuses on what that teaching is to consist of. He tells Titus to teach what accords with sound doctrine. That is, everything that St. Paul has instructed Titus to believe, all of the teaching that St. Paul had received from the Lord, he is now to pass on to Titus, and Titus is now to pass on to the people of God at Crete. He is to teach them the catechism. He is to hand on the manner of speech of what we say we believe, to teach them the creeds, the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, to hand on these things so that those who lived on the island of Crete would have a pattern of speaking as they lived out their lives in the civil world and at home, that they would have a pattern of speaking that was doctrinally sound. So that then fathers could be shepherds to their families. And so he exhorts then, Titus is to exhort and have the pastors exhort first the older men. That is, not just every older man, but Christian older men. That they are to be sober-minded. That is, not given to much wine. Dignified. That is, respectable. That they are to be self-controlled. Sound in faith. That is, sound in their understanding of the faith. And because they are sound in their understanding of the faith, they are convicted in what they believe. They have conviction. Sound in faith, and if in faith, then in love. For from faith comes love, as we pray for every Sunday. And then also in steadfastness, that they would be diligent, that they would not give up easily, that they would keep their hands to the plow, that they would not give up too soon. To older women, Titus is to teach that they are likewise to be reverent. They are to have a piety in their behavior, one that goes along with someone who is a believer in God, one that recognizes that God actually exists. Unlike those who Paul wants Titus to rebuke, who say they believe, but by their life defile God, as he says at the end of chapter 1. The older women are to show themselves godly in every single way, such that they are not slanderers, that is, they are not given to gossip, that they too are not slaves to much wine, which inevitably leads to gossip, that they are to teach what is good, training the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their husbands. In other words, that we would not, as older men in the congregation or as older women in the congregation, think of ourselves as just a bunch of individuals that happen to come to the same place on Sunday morning to worship and then go our separate ways and then see each other 7 days later. Not that we would be busybodies, sticking our nose into people's business that it doesn't belong, but that we would train both the young men and the younger women what it looks like to be a godly man and woman. And that we would mentor them in this. That we would mentor them in being godly. And one of the most difficult things for godly women, for any woman, I think, is to recognize the blessings that God gives them in the home. In the way that God created all things, the home is the central place where everything happens. In other words, the home is the most important place, according to God's word. Focus on the home. And so when St. Paul urges Titus to have the older women teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children, it is to say that the home is the most important thing, and to be workers at home. In other words, to spend your energy in making the home what we try to make every other place. We spend our time and our effort on the things that we think are important. St. Paul is trying to get the people of God at Crete to recognize that if the household, the actual families of the church crumble, the church crumbles as well. You can have the best pastors in the world. You can have the most sound doctrine. But if it is not brought into the home, and the home is not prized above all things, worldly prestige, worldly wealth, fun and entertainment, if the home is not the central place of the Christian's activity and focus, we are setting ourselves up for very difficult things. And that is why Titus is sent to put that into order, so that the people of God may have a place to flourish, so that we would not be like the rest of the world with its worldly passions and desires to get gain in wealth and prestige, but rather to prize above all things the realms and spheres in which God has placed us and where he gives us life, where he makes life occur. And that is in the home. That is where he gives us new life, where children are born and brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That is where he sustains our life. When fathers and husbands protect from intruders, just as pastors rebuke those who come with false doctrine, they go to war. They protect the house and the home, and they provide. They, by the sweat of their brow, bring food for life. And women, by God's design, give life from themselves when they come together with a man. They procreate. They bring children, new life, joy. And as much joy as that is on that first day, or when you realize that new life is within you, every day after can be, and sometimes is, a chore. Another thing to do. And it can be easy to think, wouldn't it be just better if we did other things? But that is only if the home is not the most important place. The thing to be prized. The place worthy of us to expend our energy, our sweat, our tears, and our blood. What I am not saying is that women must stay home all the time. But what is our focus? What is it that we are zeroing in on? Is it home or something else? If it is our homes, then no matter what kind of work the husband or wife will do, everything will be invested into that. Which means the home will be a place that you want to be at and not avoid. In our day, most people treat their homes like hotels. It is a place to maybe eat, but mostly sleep, get up and leave again. That is not the vision that the Bible puts forward. The home is where we live, where everything of the family happens, where teaching and instruction and growing in the faith and even growing in wisdom and stature, learning to do this or that, all of that happens in the home. St. Paul knows, because he knows the Bible, and he passes this on to Titus, to refocus the men and women of Crete on the central things, the most important things, the things worth dying for. The home. And so, he says, be busy there. Love your children and your husband. Be busy there. Show yourself in all things, he says to Titus, a model of good works. Be worthy, in other words, of imitation. The reason he wants this is how he ends this chapter. Why should we do these things? Precisely for this reason. Because the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Because Jesus has actually become flesh, because he has died in our place, been raised again for our justification before God, because the grace of God has actually appeared among us in time for all eternity, bringing us salvation. Salvation from all the things that tear us down, all the things that make us enslaved. Worldly passions, money, all of these things. So that we would renounce all of those things and look to the hope of the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That is, the one who appeared in the flesh is coming back. We have something to look forward to. It is not, as the Old Testament says, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It is, let us be steadfast, because tomorrow we live. For to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Declare these things, St. Paul says. Make them known. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no one disregard you. That is to say, that we are not able to simply say that was then and this is now. God's vision for our lives is always the same. How we might fulfill that in different times and spaces, to be sure, looks different. But the general principle remains. Pay attention to sound doctrine. keep our homes central so that the word of God will go forth and not be reviled by those who do not believe. So that those who know what the Bible says will not say, well, you yourself don't even live like that. That we would too, as individuals, as families, be worthy of imitation. And that they would see the joy we have as Christians, the joy we have as Christians at home, and want to take part in it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.